But the message this morning, I've entitled this, as I typically do, as a question. And the title of the message this morning is, if Christianity is true, what about UFOs? If Christianity is true, what about UFOs? So you might be wondering, why in the world are you preaching about this? I mean, there's so much bigger, better things to discuss. So, you know, why am I bringing this up this morning? Am I just trying to be novel or trying to come up with something, unique or something like that? And that's not the case. But why do I bring this up? There's one reason. It's in the news. It was all over the news this week. If you'll go to the next slide, Julie. This is an article, CNN. Officials and lawmakers push for more government transparency on UFOs. Updated 11:22 p.m. on Wednesday, July 26, 2023. This has been in the news this week. Some congressional hearings were had. As I heard this story, I'm intrigued. I listened in to some of the testimonies that were given. And there was, a congressional hearings were held this week. Three military veterans testified before Congress about their eyewitness accounts and the accounts of other military personnel that up to this point, or the claim that they're making is these things have been knowingly, consciously suppressed for decades. And so they're coming forward about this, and others are coming forward with them. There's other conversations that are happening behind closed doors that are more classified. But this is in the news right now. So what I want to do this morning, first I want to briefly address this specific issue. And I mean really briefly, because I have a lot I could say this morning, a lot I would like to talk about in this regard. But I want to briefly address this specific issue. But then I want to conclude with my main point, okay? But we're going to start off, and I'm just going to barely begin to scratch the surface about this. And I want to begin in Isaiah 45, verse 18. If you would please stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. And again, considering the question, if Christianity is true, what about UFOs? You know, I think about questions. It's not just the questions I'm curious about. It's the questions that people raise to me. A lot of times on our Wednesday nights, I just show up and I just present a question that was raised to me. And here's the thing, we don't get to pick what questions we get asked. And so I get asked a question, get hit with some off-the-wall thing, and I'll go through that question on Wednesday nights and explain what I said, maybe what I could have said better, maybe what I could have said worse, things like that. But we talk about that together because people have questions. Listen to me very carefully. People have questions today. And we're going to talk more about that at the end of the message. But if Christianity is true, what about UFOs? Let's look at Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Father, it has been said by many over thousands of years, and I've experienced it firsthand that there is absolutely nothing. There is absolutely not one subject, not one issue, not one thing we experience in reality and in our life that your word does not address. There are no exceptions. If not specifically, at least in principle. God, your word is sufficient. It's not exhaustive. God, no word could contain you. You're infinite. But your word is sufficient. It tells us everything that we need to know. God, help us to know your word and to know you and to be prepared and ready to share the gospel, to share the truth with others, to share Christ with others. God, you have given us a story to tell, and it is true. Help us to tell it to the absolute best of our ability. Help us to tell it better this week than we did last week. These things are so important. There is nothing more important. These are the most important things as we think about eternity, as we think about you, and as we think about who we are in relation to you. So God, we thank you for this time. We pray your blessing upon it now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So I'm going to cover this quickly, probably too quickly. You can be the judge. But what this passage of Scripture is saying, now this isn't a Scripture about UFOs or aliens or whatever you want to call it. But I do think that this Scripture is giving us some information that we could only have through Revelation. And what this is saying is that God created the earth specifically and uniquely to be inhabited. Is that not what it says? For, he formed it to be inhabited. He created, let's see, God himself has formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He didn't create it without a purpose. It has a purpose. Everything God does is purposeful. He formed the earth to be inhabited. So God created the earth specifically and uniquely to be inhabited. Humans are a special creation of God. The scientific community hates this claim. I mean, I hear this, and it's such a strange claim. We're nothing special. We're nothing special. No, no, no. We're just a tiny blue speck in a cosmic universe. They hate the idea that humanity might be special, because that's exactly what this book says. A special creation of God. And here's the thing, the scientific evidence, not just the biblical revelation, the scientific evidence is mind-blowingly, devastatingly in our favor to say we're it. We are a special creation of God. According to Revelation and according to every experiment that has been run, humans are a special creation of God, created in His image. And the earth is a special creation of God within the physical creation to be inhabited, to be the habitation of His image bearers. Now, this raises the question, and you hear people make these claims and say, well, the universe is so vast. You don't even know. If you knew how vast the universe was, we know there has to be life out there besides us. That is based upon several layers of false presuppositions. And when you start unstacking the layers, you begin to expose the falsehood. If, and the question may be phrased this way, I'm hitting you with questions I get all the time, and I love them, and I relish them, and I hope I get many more in the future, with a greater frequency. Someone asked the question, if we're it, if we're all the life that there is, if we're the only intelligent life, or the only life period in the universe, why did God create such a vast universe? Don't you know how vast the universe is? I do know exactly how vast the universe is. Do you? Why would He do it? Doesn't that seem purposeless? It's not. According to you, you think it's purposeless, but you don't know the mind of God. He has an incredible purpose. In fact, he's incapable of doing something purposelessly. You are. You can do things without a purpose. You can do vain things. God cannot do a vain thing. And I can promise you, the vastness of the universe was not in vain. So why is it so vast? I have an answer for that. I go to the Word of God. Psalm 19:1 says, "For the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day into day it uttereth speech." There is nowhere where its voice is heard. It's not speaking, but it's speaking volumes, though it's not a voice that's being spoken. We can see the glory of God in creation. That's why the universe is so vast. Why is it, if we're all that there is, we're the only life in the universe, then why is the universe so vast? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The universe is 92, almost 93 billion light years from one end to the other. It's expanding and accelerating. I use this Bible all the time, usually in jail ministry. I slip it out of my back pocket, and I explain to people, do you know how big the universe is? And understand this, it may be even bigger than that. That's as observed from the surface of the earth. If anything, it's bigger. It's at least this big. It's at least this big. The physical creation, the physical universe is at least this big. I explain this to people all the time. That Bible's approximately 6 inches. Okay. When I say it's 92 billion light years, here's what I mean. A light travels in 1 year, 365 days, 6 trillion miles. Light travels 6 trillion miles. This whole planet is 25,000 miles around. Put it in perspective. This little earth, this little planet, 25,000 miles around, light travels 6 trillion miles in 1 year. The universe, if this increment of 6 inches were each inch was a trillion miles, 6 trillion mile increments, to measure the universe as observed from the surface of the earth would be 92 billion of these. 6 trillion mile increments. Yeah, the universe is vast. Let me tell you why it's vast. Because the heaven is declaring the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Without ever cracking this book, I can know this about the Creator. Number one, I know that there's a creation. This was created. And just by looking, laying my eyes on these pages, but looking through a telescope, the Hubble Deep Space Telescope, just looking through the telescope, it tells us this: the Creator of this creation has infinite power. That's why the universe is so vast. It's telling us something about the one who created it. Because you see, to him, 92 billion light years or one inch, it's all the same to him. Because I didn't say he's very powerful. His power is limitless. And I can't think of a better way to communicate that than to say, let there be light. Let there be a universe. Let's make it 92 billion light years. Just to give you a taste of who you're dealing with. It's all about God. God, 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 God. I hope you're all about God, because reality is, because creation is, you better be as a creature. It better be about the Creator. And it makes me want to lay down on my face on the ground. It gives me chill bumps to this day. I've been thinking about this for decades. It still gives me chill bumps to think about the vastness of God, and he's my friend, and he's my father, and he loves me. And he said, Jordan, I've shown you a couple things here, but I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor is there in the heart of man what I've got prepared for those who love me. I love you. I love God. I love Christ. I hope you love God. You're a fool if you don't. That's the being who I'm going to spend eternity with. And he's going to say, well, you know, I've revealed so much to you, but I've not even begun to scratch the surface of what I'm going to reveal to you in the ages to come. I cannot wait for heaven. I cannot wait for eternity. I'm excited. I used to be so afraid of dying and going to hell. That was a big motivation in why I got saved. And that's a good motivation to get saved. I didn't want to face the wrath of that being who just casually spoke a 92 billion light year universe into existence. I do not want to face his wrath. I humble my heart and I repent. But now it has shifted for me where not only have I been spared from hell, I don't want people to miss on what God has in store for those who love him. I cannot imagine it would be hell to miss this heaven that God has prepared for us. I look so forward to this. And all of this, when you go out tonight in the night sky, well, you just see a little bitty, about 10,000 visible stars. Some of those are galaxies. That's just a little taste. When you look that night sky, every time you look at the night sky, when you drive to work, when you see the moon, when you see the sun, know the infinite God. Creation is speaking to us and giving us some details about how great our God is. That's why the universe is so vast. And I'm so glad you asked. I think about this all the time. Please ask me, why is the universe so vast? I want to tell people this. Is that not exciting? Is that not thrilling? It's the greatest thing I know. Now, this might be controversial. You may disagree with this. But I think the universe is 13.7 billion years old. I can please think more deeply and understand the issues better. This has zero to do with evolution. I'm talking about the age of the universe. I think the universe is 13.7 billion years old. And I think it's telling us something. Well, why would God wait? I think you can already jump ahead of me and know the answer to this question. Well, why would God wait 13.6.9999999999 billion years to create us? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Because you understand 13.7 billion. He tells us in his word explicitly that a day is as 1,000 years as 1,000 years. He's saying time is irrelevant to me. But he's wanting to communicate to you, for whom time is very relevant, that I can do this, I can create, and I can wait before I create humanity in a lifeless universe for 13.69999 billion years, because time doesn't matter to me. God is timeless, and I can't think of a better way of communicating that than to create a universe 13.7 billion years ago to say, I am without limit in power and time. I dwell outside of time. I am the transcendent God. And I'm hearing more from the creation about my Creator. Last of all, I'll say this. Whether it's a super cluster of galaxies that are hundreds of millions of light years from one end to the other, Milky Way galaxies, 100,000 light years, 100,000 6 trillion mile increments, that's the Milky Way galaxy in which we live. In that complexity of superclusters of galaxies, of supermassive black holes at the center of galaxies, all the way down to the subatomic particle, to the very electrons and neutrons and protons and even smaller than that, that make up this pulpit upon which I place my hand, that's 99.9% empty space. It shows the complexity and the infinite wisdom of God. DNA, the order, the design, the information that underlines every particle in the universe, every subatomic particle in the universe, shows the not just the infinite power, and not just that God has infinite, limitless power, and that He dwells outside of time, but that He has infinite, limitless knowledge, infinite, limitless wisdom. You're not going to outsmart Him. Believe Him and trust Him. He is infinitely wise, wise without any limitation. And creation, the microscope, the electron microscope tells us that. The telescope tells us that. I hope you're listening. I hope the whole world is listening. And I love it when they ask me questions about this. Because the truth is, God exists. This is created, and He created it. And He created you. And we've got a date with Him very soon. Time matters to us. It doesn't matter to God, but it matters to us. And I'm very rapidly moving towards this person. I need to be ready to meet Him, and so do you. Do you understand how this ties into the gospel? Do you understand how we use this information? So, let me say this. Why do I think the universe, why do I think there's not life in other on other galaxies, on other planets, other star systems, other solar systems? Because life is an impossibility without God. Period. Life is impossible without God. Challenge me on it. I love being challenged on this point. Life is an impossibility without God. If you're an atheist, you cannot explain life. You cannot. Life is an impossibility without God. There are to this day, 2023, July 30th, there are, I'm not exaggerating this, zero explanations for the origin of life. Zero. That gets misrepresented. It's important you know that. That gets misrepresented in scientific communities, in popular science, and how this gets reported. People think that we've explained how life began. Absolutely not. Zero explanations for how non-living matter becomes living. There is no method. There is no mechanism. It's impossible. Well, but we're here. It's impossible, naturally speaking. It can't just happen. Hydrogen cannot begin to live without the supernatural intervention of God. That's the only game in town. That's it. That's the only explanation. And it drives scientists crazy, and they get very emotional and angry and upset when it gets pointed out. Dr. James Torr, Rice University, look him up. He's the foremost expert on this. He's devastating everybody, and they hate his guts. And it's going to probably cost him a Nobel Prize. He doesn't care. Because he's going to bear witness to the truth. I shared some videos on Wednesday night about Dr. James Torr. He is devastating scientific because he knows, he can look at all the data and say, you're misrepresenting this. I have a question. He knows all the leading experts from Harvard, from in other countries throughout Europe, throughout Asia. He knows the experts, and there's only a few leading experts, and he knows what they don't know, and he's telling everybody. And it's been very controversial. Dr. James Torr, T-O-U-R, a biochemist, and he's the one who's leading the charge, pointing out, saying, you have no explanation for the origin of life. And by the way, it's not for lack of trying. Billions of dollars have been spent. We cannot duplicate in the laboratory what they said happened in a pond. We cannot duplicate it in the most pristine environment with perfect chemicals, all the perfect building blocks for life. We cannot do it. They said it happened by accident with a lightning strike or some chemical reaction in a cosmic primordial pond. Absolutely rejected. It's false. I'll say it again. Life is an impossibility with God. Someone says, well, I don't think that's true. Then explain it to me. You understand how quickly I go from receiving a question to asking questions? When you start asking questions, it all unravels. Oh, you don't have an answer? Well, if you do, congratulations. You're the only person on the face of the earth that's got it. No biologist has it. No biochemist has it. If you're the one, Nobel Prize. You've won a Nobel Prize if you can tell me how life began without the intervention of God. You'll be the only person on the planet that knows it. That's such a powerful thing that Christians need to know that. We have the intellectual high ground. It sure doesn't seem that way, does it? I'm here to tell you this morning, you have the intellectual high ground. The evidence is absolutely irrefutably on your side. It's important you know that. So, all this ties in the question, if Christianity is true, what about UFOs? UFOs imply intelligent beings, non-human. So where do they come from? What are they? If they exist. If it's not all just a big fraud. I'll humor this for just a minute. Now, understand, I'm not saying it's improbable. I'm saying it's impossible for life to exist without God, to get life from non-life. It is an impossible leap. But let's say there was life on another planet. Travel here would also be impossible. What's the closest star to us? We have our star and our solar system. What's the closest star to us? And how far away is it? It is Alpha Centauri, and it is about 4.6 light years away. So it takes 4.6 years for light to travel from here to there. Now our sun's 92 million miles away. It takes 8 minutes from the light from the sun to reach the earth. When you look at the sun, when you go out tonight, or this afternoon, when you go out and look at the sun, you're seeing the sun 8 minutes ago. Because it took 8 minutes for that light to travel the surface of the earth. Well, the closest star to our star, our solar system, is 4.6 light years away. That's over 25 trillion miles. Now that's a long trip. That's a long trip to make it from just a neighboring solar system to us. You say, well, why are you rejecting this? You don't. Well, I've thought about the question a lot. If a intelligent being could travel from our closest neighbor is over 25 trillion miles away. Do the calculation. How long would it take? At what speed? How fast would you have to go? And by the way, there's limitations on how fast you can travel. Because when you're traveling, you're interacting, even in empty space, you're interacting with, even empty space, you have a proton about every centimeter, which is, I mean, that seems like nothingness, but you're going to destroy whatever you're traveling in if you go too fast, okay? There are laws of physics that are true for the entire universe, not just the surface of the earth, not just where we live. So it's over the closest star is over 25 trillion miles away. How about the closest galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy? Well, it's 2.5 million light years away. I can't even give you the number in miles on that. 2.5 million, 6 trillion mile increments. That's how far from the Milky Way galaxy to the next galaxy. By the way, there's 2 trillion galaxies. It blows my mind. I love thinking about this stuff. My memory is not good, but this is so fascinating, it burns into my brain. I can't help but think about this all the time. It's so powerful to think about this. And all of this is true. This is reality. This is the reality in which we live. But here's the thing. So there are reports that have seen, we used to call them UFOs, now they're calling them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. People are reporting to have seen these that are moving at a rate of speed, which is mind-blowing to us here as far as air travel as we know it. These, and they're caught on film, they're caught on radar, they're caught on, people are seeing it, with their own eyes. That these objects, this phenomenon, that they're traveling, these objects are traveling at around 13 to 18,000 miles per hour. Descending 80,000 feet in just a matter of seconds, and then rising 80,000 feet, traveling at 13 to 18,000 miles per hour, come to a dead stop, and then reverse course and change direction. That defies the laws of physics, which is very interesting. Now, oh yeah, and some of them, when you get close to them, they travel in ways that defy the laws of physics, hundreds of G's, making these turns and things like that. But when you get close to them, by the way, they disappear. So that's interesting. Now you could easily say, well, this is just, they're all just lying. Or people are seeing things and they don't really know what they're seeing. And so, yeah, you have my attention. I'm not going to run away from these questions. I love these questions. And these are people who destroyed their careers to report this. Now, there's no question. People are crazy. They report lies. People are liars. They lie all the time. I'm certain the vast majority of these claims are lies. But when you have military personnel who destroyed their career by saying this, you got to test their claims a little bit. They didn't benefit from this. In fact, they suffered for having reported it, and it cost them something to report it. So I take that in. They may still be lying. Maybe they're crazy. I don't know. But I'll say this. There have been, so they're talking about hundreds of accounts that have not really been shared with the public at this point. But globally, over the last, let's say, 50 years, there's millions of accounts. Millions. Way more accounts in other parts of the world, like Russia and France and Brazil. Way higher there than in the United States. I wonder why that is. I think there's a reason. I've not done this research, but I've listened to people who have extensively. These are very common occurrences for astronomers, for those who are watching the radar, very common occurrences. Now, the vast majority can be explained naturally. They're seeing Venus. They're seeing there's different phenomena that happens in the night sky that can account for all of this stuff, where you can say, this is exactly what happened. This explains. It's not unidentified. It is identified. We know what happened. There's also military testing. We always emphasize this at Oronet, where I work, Oak Ridge National Lab. I think it's still the fastest computer in the world. The fastest computer in the world. Non-military. They always throw that little snippet in at the end. Fastest supercomputer in the world, non-military. Because the military has technology that's usually 10 to 15 years ahead of where we're at today. And so what's happened many times throughout the decades is a guy named Hugh Ross. I mentioned James Torr. You want to know about the origin of life? Go to James Torr. If you want to know about this subject, go to Hugh Ross. Hugh Ross is an astrophysicist. He's a Canadian. He's a Christian. He's worked for years. As he was working through school, he would work at observatories. He would spend 2,000 hours a year looking through a telescope. And so he would see things. Well, here's what would happen. Whenever, because he was a graduate student, he got to do all the dirty work. They kind of pushed everything off on him. So for years, what would happen is these questions came in to the astronomy department. They'd say, yeah, send it to Ross. Make him follow up on it or whatever. So he's received thousands of these throughout his career. Everything kind of rolled to him. This, like, this flunky work that he had to do was dealing with these questions. So he's dealt personally with thousands of these accounts. And he spent a lot of time. He's an expert on looking at the night sky, okay? A lot of this, some of the times it's Venus, sometimes it's natural phenomenon. There's been other times when he would contact a local military base and say, hey, I'm just curious, this is what's been reported to me, is there some kind of testing going on? And they, of course, would categorically deny, absolutely not. He said, okay, I'm going to call the local newspaper and report what, I'm glad it's not you. I'm going to contact the local newspaper and let them know kind of what we're seeing, since I know it's not you. And the guy said, don't contact the local newspaper. And he said, okay, message received. Thanks, click. So they were doing some testing, advanced testing. Drones can hover. That's a flying craft that can hover, right? They can't travel 13,000 to 18,000 miles per hour and change course. That defies the laws of physics. We'll come back to that more. They can't disappear. Okay, and these are military personnel with knowledge of military testing saying, we can't account for this. That's why they're reporting on it. Okay. So I would encourage you, I listened to about a two-hour talk from Hugh Ross. It was very helpful, very insightful on this issue. He is one of the only Christians to write extensively on this subject. He's an astrophysicist. He's worked at Caltech. He now does full-time ministry. He's a pastor. He's 75 years old, a highly intelligent man. He's been doing research on these types of things as part of his other research. It's tied in for decades now. But besides Hugh Ross, there's also a French physicist. So other people, probably the world's leading experts, a guy, a French physicist named Jacques Vallée, V-A-L-L-E is his last name. You can look him up as well. You know, there's problems when you talk about these craft and they're moving 13,000 to 18,000 miles per hour. That's really fast within our atmosphere. By the way, there's no smoke. You can't see any kind of heat trace or anything like that on them. So that's pretty fast, but that is turtle slow. That is impossibly slow. What you call interstellar travel from one star system to the other, and certainly from one galaxy to the other. So, and then you hear these reports about them crashing. Now, how did you travel 2.5 million light years, or how did you travel over 25 trillion miles, and you couldn't manage to you lost control of the wheel and crashed here on this planet? That doesn't really make a lot of sense, okay, for about 100 reasons. But as you're looking at this, here's the conclusion that even atheists, astrophysicists who are very familiar with the laws of physics, here's what they say about it. This should get your attention. They're not from a distant star, and they're not from a distant galaxy. They're from another dimension. It's interdimensional. That's how they can disappear. That's how they can defy the laws of physics. Hugh Ross is the same thing. And here's the thing. I think the vast majority of these claims are complete bogus. I think some can be naturally explained. I think there's some that cannot be explained naturally because they're not natural. They believe what they are seeing. Even Jacques Vallée, who is not a Christian, says this has to be interdimensional. This has to be something from another dimension appearing within our dimension, manifesting itself, and then disappearing. Hugh Ross has also discovered and documented in his decades of experience dealing with thousands of these eyewitness accounts, an incredibly strong correlation between UFO sightings and people who are associated with the occult. You'd have to go back and listen to this video if you get a chance. Hugh Ross, he wrote a book about things in the night sky and little green men, something like that, kind of like saying that in a joking way. But he wrote a book on this, and I listened to a talk this week on this. I'd encourage you to go, if you're interested in this, go back and listen to it. He spent some time in Russia. And in Russia, he was speaking to other astronomers and physicists and astrophysicists, and they wanted to hear, this was his number one question that he was asked, because they were seeing tons of this phenomenon. They're also much more involved in the occult in Russia than here in the United States. And he made the connection for them. There were people, when he came in there as a Christian astronomer, who sat there and screamed and blasphemed Jesus until they had to be taken out of the assembly. That's a strange scientific objection. Something about Jesus Christ. There was a document that somebody wrote, I can't think of the name off the top of my head now, that's about 4,000 pages long, that was supposedly written while someone was in a trance, that was related to UFOs or to alien encounters, that kind of thing. And at 4,000 words, they call it like the UFO Bible. This person was in a trance as they were writing it. One third of it is devoted to denying the deity of Jesus, according to Hugh Ross. One third of it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting? Well, this is something totally separate from your religion, from Christianity. Oh no, they're connected. Everything is connected to Christianity. Everything is connected to Christ. And this is no exception. I'm throwing a bunch of stuff out at you this morning. I want to encourage you, go and look these things up for yourself. But Hugh Ross has discovered a very strong correlation between UFO sightings and people who are associated with the occult, or people who are associated with people who are associated with the occult. What is the occult? This is my little basic definition. It is seeking spiritualism outside of God. That's the occult. It is seeking spiritualism. You ever heard someone say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't ascribe to any organized religion, but I'm very spiritual. They're in danger. That's the occult. The occult is rejecting God, but embracing and seeking spiritualism and spiritual experiences. The occult is rejecting God, but embracing and seeking spiritual experiences. And the Bible speaks extensively about everything I'm talking about today. Spirit beings that are non-physical. They're not physical, but they are intelligent spirit beings. What am I referring to? The Bible talks more about angels than it does, I don't know, like the subject of love. Angels. What about demons? If you don't believe in angels and demons, you're denying a big part of what Scripture says. I definitely believe there are angels. I definitely believe that there are demons, which are angelic beings with an angelic nature. They're non-physical, but they are intelligent spiritual beings. But they're created. God's uncreated. God is a spirit being. He is infinitely intelligent, infinitely powerful. He has always existed. He's uncreated. But He created spirit beings that are intelligent, that are non-human. I've not even began to scratch the surface of this morning. But I do believe that there are some people who are seeing things, but it is not what they think and it is not who they think. I think it's demonic. I believe it is demonic manifestations. And in fact, Hugh Ross has done so much research on this. When people call him, they're saying, I keep seeing these things. I keep having these experiences. I don't know if it's a nightmare or a vision. Getting into things like abductions, things like that. He said, he'll ask him, are you involved in the occult? Are you involved in diving into spiritual things without God and rejection of God? He said, according to him, every time. That gets my attention. He has not found an exception. And he said, okay, let's try an experiment. Break all ties with the occult. Repent of your interactions with the occult, with spiritualism, outside of God, outside of Christ. Break your ties with it and see what happens. Every single time, the nightmares, the visions, the abductions, these experiences cease. I think what he's saying is true. Hugh Ross is not somebody who just makes, there's people all over online. You have to use discernment when you listen to people. This isn't somebody who just makes stuff up, throws stuff against the wall, see what sticks. This is someone different. This is the kind of person I like listening to who knows what he's talking about. He deals in facts. Again, I'm just beginning to scratch the surface of this, but I want to read one final passage of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. This is a Scripture you need to be aware of. And especially in this day and age, let me tell you what's getting my attention. Globalism, artificial intelligence, and now an increase, which could be explained different ways, but a seeming increase in these UAP, UFO experiences. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. This is in reference to the return of Christ. The Thessalonians, the Christians at Thessalonica, there was this heresy going around that Christ had already returned. Paul's addressing that in his letter. He's saying the second coming of Christ has not happened yet. And then he gives some details about what's going to happen around the second coming of Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you have to believe that Christ is coming back. That is one of the key tenets of Christianity. Whether you're a Baptist, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, if you're a Christian, Orthodox Christianity, you have to believe that Christ is coming back, the return of Christ. Okay. In relation to that return of Christ, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians, in that context, this is what Paul writes. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Or that's the King James way of talking about restraint. He that's restraining will restrain. I think that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Now he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, notice it's a capital W, the wicked one, an individual, the Antichrist. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all, listen, with all power and signs and lying wonders. The narrative is there. For miracles and signs and lying wonders. It defies physics because it is a power and sign and lying wonder. Do you understand that our culture is salivating? We want, give us an intelligent origin, but not God. And I think, as time goes on, if God allows this, I think they're going to get what they want. They're going to get an intelligent origin, but we don't need Jesus. That's what's coming. That I'll say this, that is what the stage has been set for right now this morning. Let me go on. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. So if you reject the love of the truth, if you reject the gospel, they're going to be deceived of unrighteousness in them that perish because they perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You need to be on the lookout for a strong delusion, a widely believed lie. I think that's what I'm talking about this morning. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what's going to happen. I just read it for you. That's what's going to happen just prior to the return of Christ. Okay. Here's my conclusion. You had better accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. That's your takeaway. Go do your homework. Go watch every video I just referenced. Watch many more. You become the expert on it. Teach me some things that I don't know. Listen to things that I've not listened to. Come and share that with me. But your homework is this. Actually, your imperative is this. You had better accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe the truth right now. Believe what God has said. Things are crazy, but they're getting crazier, and you are defenseless without Christ. But here's my main point. Everybody stand, if you would, as we close this morning. Here's my main point. You think, that was all introduction. What an idiot. Here's my main point as we close. Proverbs 18:17. Here's my main point for the people in this room who are Christians, who are saved, and I hope and pray it's everybody. If not, get saved right now. Come to this altar right now. Get saved. Cry out to God. Call upon the name of the Lord that you may be saved. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, here's the point. Proverbs 18:17 says this, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just." The first person to speak seems right, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. What that's saying is this. You, maybe not so much you, you're here this morning. The vast majority of people, they hear one story. They hear one side of a story. That's it. They hear propaganda. A lot of what you hear in the news today has become propaganda. We're not reporting facts anymore. We're reporting propaganda. They hear the propaganda, they believe the propaganda. That's it. Your mission is to engage people and to tell them the truth. The truth is hard to find today. You are children of light. You are people of the truth, people of the book. We sang earlier, I have found the way. You have found the way. Other people don't know the way. It's up to us to tell them the way. We must engage. You're shy? Don't care. Stop being shy. Overcome it. It can be done. There's an urgency here. Christ could return right now. Jesus Christ could return right now. We have to be ready. The truth is not being heard. We have to loudly and as loudly and as clearly and as well reasoned as we possibly can, we have to declare the truth to people. Here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care a thing about UFOs. I don't care about UAPs. I don't care about aliens. I don't care about this subject. Then why have you spent hours researching it? But here's the point. This subject, like many other, almost every other subject, this subject of aliens, UFOs, UAPs, presents a glorious opportunity to talk to someone about Christ. I told Janet, as soon as I saw it in the news, I'm researching it and I'm ready. Someone's going to raise the question to me. I'm ready for the question. You need to be ready for the question. I've researched artificial intelligence. Why? I'm ready for the question. I've researched extensively recent things in our culture about transgenderism. I'm ready for the question. Transgenderism is a very important issue. It presents an unbelievably glorious opportunity to share the gospel, to share Christ with somebody. That's the point, is sharing the gospel. The occult, UFOs, artificial intelligence, you name it, presents an unbelievably powerful and glorious opportunity to share Christ with someone. People are not hearing the other side of the story. Christianity is 100% true. We have something to say. We have a message to deliver. We have the message of all messages to deliver. We are Christ's messengers to this world. We have to engage this world. People need the truth. Well-reasoned, carefully considered, clearly explained and communicated. And here's the whole point. We should not be afraid of any question. Bring all questions. I heard people, they apologize for 5 minutes. Well, I hate to ask you this. I know this is controversial. People pull me to the side, and a large group of people, I'll ask for questions. Everybody sits there. After it's over, they pull me aside and say, well, I don't want to say this in front of everybody because I'm afraid it might rattle people's faith. I don't think it can rattle their faith. Christianity has the answer. Christ has the answer. Christianity is 100% true. You don't have to be afraid of any question or any subject because this is true. And I'm firmly convinced and convicted of that fact that this word is true. We're ready. But we have to, God has given us what we need, but we have to always be ready to share the gospel, to give a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness, fear. Not being a bully, not putting people down, but with boldness. There's a difference between arrogance and boldness. We need to have that boldness to share the gospel boldly with people. We have the answer. The world claims to have the answer. They're bluffing. Call their bluff and give them the answer. Give them the truth. As we close this morning, we're going to sing this song, Jesus Saves. I can't think of a better thing to sing about. With exclamation points, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves. I want us to sing this together as a song and a testimony of conviction that we're going to declare to this world the fact and the truth of all truths, that Jesus saves. If you need to come and pray, I'm now going to switch to song leader again. So I got others here, Kenny, Mom, Jana, Jake, and Morgan. If you guys keep up and pray with somebody if they need to pray this morning, if you're here not a Christian, get saved immediately. Get saved immediately. If not, if you are saved, we need to have a firm conviction that Jesus saves and be ready to share it with this world. Let's sing this together. Jesus saves.